Welcome to Perspective Transformation Radio, enjoying its 10th anniversary, often the number one live airing broadcast on Blog Talk Radio, and reaching a global audience of over 185,000 listeners. During this hour-long interview-style program, you'll meet perspective transformers who come to share their most pivotal, life-changing insights and aha moments, offering you instant access to life, leadership, and God-loving seismic shifts of your own. We encourage you to invite friends to join you here now or share quotes with attribution, and also reach out to our sponsor, womenspeakers.com. Womenspeakers.com is the most popular online connecting place for Christian event planners and Christian women speakers since 2002. I'm your host, Marnie Swedberg, and I encourage you to grab a notepad and get ready to meet today's perspective transformer. Hey, everybody. Welcome. This is Marnie Swedberg. Excited to have you with us this afternoon for a women's ministry leadership training that can affect everybody's lives, because most of us know someone who is the victim of abuse or trauma, has been in their past, and they come into our lives and we're always wondering, how do we help? What can we do? How do I avoid the landmines that are definitely here in their hearts? I don't want to trigger anything or set them off in a way that's unnecessary. So today's training with our guest, Frieda Emmons, is going to be so helpful to teach us how to reach the hearts of abuse and trauma victims. During this hour, you want to grab some kind of a notepad, because you're going to discover the first perspective shift that she'll need to embrace, what to do if she's buried in depression, how to help her rediscover her passion and purpose, the power of prioritization, how to unearth her value toward establishing some balance, how to equip her to evaluate and pursue her personal abilities and strengths, inspire tenacious faith while helping her keep her eyes on her goals, and teach her the key to staying on track and avoiding otherwise inevitable derailments. We're going to learn about the gift of being a safe place for her to pray through her deepest wounds, and how to take care of yourself emotionally as you reach out to hurting women. Today's guest is the perfect person to talk to us about this. Frieda Emmons is the author of three books, Flame of Healing, Resurrection Hope, and Millennial Hope, and is an inspirational speaker focusing on issues of healing from abuse and trauma herself. Her website is friedaemmons.com, and she's one of our speakers over at womenspeakers.com. And welcome to you, Frieda.
Thank you so much. I'm very honored to be with you.
Well, and I'm excited to have you, and it was so fun to meet you in person when I was out in Oregon recently, and just to hear more of your story and to be amazed at our big God and how he just loves us all so much. And even despite a background that has been so full of trauma and drama for you, you are just this beautiful God lover who's just helping lead other people into hope and healing themselves. So thank you so much for your willingness to share your heart, as well as your willingness to be here today.
Thank you very much. God has been with me all the way through, and I'm very thankful.
That's right. How would we do it without him, right? So let's go ahead and talk, just dive right in, because you've got so much good stuff you want to share with us here during this hour. The first thing we want to talk about is a perspective shift that needs to happen early on for an abuse or trauma victim. And I'm just going to have you go ahead and share your perspective on that.
Really, it comes with shifting from the negative, focusing on the negative all your life because there's so much pain, choosing to help people to focus on finding one thing that's positive each day. If they can find something somewhere that's positive, then you can step away from the negative even just a moment and begin to feel something other than pain. And that's a really big shift.
Wow. Okay, so that's a little bit surprising for me. The intensity with which you said that makes me comprehend, the difference, in just the mindset of someone who has experienced a lot of abuse or trauma, that it's very difficult to even find one thing to be thankful for.
it's very hard. The hardest part for me was I was just always feeling so bad, not only about myself, but what happened to me. And I couldn't change what happened to me, but I began to realize that I could find something in my day, something somewhere that was positive. So I latched on to the fact that God is with me and was with me every moment, even through the abuse and the trauma that I experienced.
So what if the person we're talking to and working with is so buried in depression that even thinking of one positive thing is just kind of outside of her realm of possibility right now?
It is very difficult, and what you have to do is take a very small step. And so sometimes we think that we have to take huge steps, and we have to take a bunch of them, but only one step is necessary, and only a very small step. So if you can begin to receive God's love for you, that's one very small step, and begin to understand that God didn't cause the pain, but he was there with you, giving you strength to get through that. And so even just that one little step of just beginning to even get into the Word of God and receive the love that he has for you, my goodness, that shifts everything. And it takes you away from depression just one day at a time.
So now I'm working with a gal and she's very depressed. And I've thought, you know, we've had a little discussion about trying to come up with one thing positive each day. And she comes back the next time and it's like, I can't. I just can't even begin to think that way. Is there a passage in the Bible that you would go to first, or how would you begin to move her from very stuck in her historical thinking into some kind of a new place?
I really love the passage in Ephesians. I think it's chapter 3, where Paul talks about that before the creation of the earth, that God created us and loved us. And before we were even formed, he loved us. And then he says, I kneel before God, from whom every family in heaven and earth receives their name. Every family, even the family that I was born into, that this young lady was born into, that they originally were created by God and loved. And she was loved. And then when you begin to experience that love, it's a bit foreign to begin with. It's hard to understand, but it's so deep and powerful that it really is life transformational. And it's almost like you have to begin with a step of faith, and it's a choice. It's a daily choice by the person, and one person can't force that on another person. The individual has to decide for themselves that that's where they want to go, that they want to get better, and they don't want to stay with depression. So it really is a personal choice, and some people don't choose that, and that's very difficult. So
right.
We have to give space for the person to make their choice.
Yeah, and I think for the women's ministry leaders listening, or for those of you listening who haven't worked with somebody who's been through abuse or trauma, the thing that surprised me when I began to get closer to this topic myself was that they can even come out of a terrible background, accept Christ, or get involved in the church, and people in the church can hurt them. I remember one gal, and she had gone to church and she was excited about what she was learning there. And then one of the men just came and while giving her a hug, kind of grabbed her chest. And it's just shocking. So I think that as we're working with gals like this, we have to recognize that we have no idea what the reasons are for her hesitancy or her holding back, but that God's love can go over all of that. You know, just God's love covers it all, and so can ours when we're using His love to progress through the relationship.
Yes, yes, and things will trigger people, and sometimes a person doesn't even expect it. It
right.
just happens out of the blue, and you're just so shocked, and it sends you reeling. And so you have to give yourself time as the person trying to heal. You have to give yourself time to regain that positive step toward healing again. And mm-hmm. if you're someone helping someone, again, you just have to have some compassion and patience and just give them the love and the space that they need, but always encourage them and accept that they know their own body, they know their own emotions, and they can own those emotions along with just owning their actions. They can own their emotions too. So that's really important. And a lot of people feel bad about their emotions.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of people who are trying to help try to own the emotions of the other person, and you can't do that either. That's not going to work out. These are her memories. They're
That's
her
right.
emotions. It's her journey, and it's her life. And you're just coming alongside.
That's right.
You're not trying to take over. So
yes.
really important.
Yes. It's very important to have that person be able to be their individual. Otherwise, they feel pressured from a whole different direction. And it doesn't help at all.
Right. Or they can feel manipulated and right away react to that. Because honestly, if
yes.
we're helping, if our motivation to help them is to make me feel better, if my motivation of helping here is to make me feel better, that's just putting one more whole burden on her. You're so right about that. That shouldn't be the motivation. The motivation is to be the arms and hands and feet of Jesus, the voice of Jesus in her life.
Yes. But it is very challenging to be in that place of wanting to help and wanting to be there and then being patient. Sometimes people choose to stay with the negative. And I helped a lady for a whole year, went to lunch with her for a whole year. For 5 hours, I would try to encourage her to be positive, and she never could. She never could take one step toward that. Within 5 minutes, she was negative again, every 5 minutes. And I finally had to let go of that and just release that, release her to live her life. And so sometimes that happens.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
a lot of people will grab a hold of that hope that God gives, and they'll really run with it and receive mm-hmm. that healing.
Yeah. I think the only thing I want to do, and then I want to include here before we move on to the next point, is the fact that even if it starts a little rocky, and even if she seems like she doesn't want your, you know, want you to keep helping her, if something's been triggered while you've been talking, or if you've overstepped her comfort level, which is super easy to do, just hang on with God. Don't cling to her, but hang on with God, because so many times as she begins to become a little more healthy, then there's the ability for her to recognize what you were doing and what you were trying to do. And so it's very easy for us to kind of just throw in the towel real quick and run away, or for us to get real overpowering and forceful. And neither of those are the right responses. I think of Jesus with the rich young ruler. And he neither forced him to agree with coming to Jesus his way, nor did he chase him down when he walked away. He just
yes.
was there for him, you know, so beautiful. You actually talk. Oh yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
That's okay. You go ahead.
Okay. All right. So you talk about helping them discover their passion and purpose. So maybe speak to that.
Sure. It's really a challenge, because when I was coming out of my pain and so on and out of the depression, I had no clue that I had any skills or abilities or even interests. And so it's very challenging to find that. And I learned that God, it's like he puts something in me, and he places something, a gift, in every person. Mm-hmm. And so finding that gift is very precious. It's a step that helps the person begin to go out of themselves a little bit and to see God's purpose and plan in their lives and how they're able to go beyond what they've experienced to find what God has called them to do and to be for others. Because we're not just alone in this. We're there with God, but also surrounded by other people and also able to reach out and even help other people. And that was a big surprise to me. So I didn't know that I had an ability to write. I learned that over a period of time. But I did know from when I was very young that I wanted to be an encourager. And so sometimes you don't even know exactly what that is in a person. But if you can be an observer of that person and see what their abilities are, and sometimes there's even these fun little things that you can explore that shows their abilities, their natural abilities, and what their interests are. And from there, you can begin to find out, oh, what really makes you passionate? And just finding out and then exploring that, it's a new step away from that negative stuff. And it gives you a goal to begin to find what is what God would have you do, and it's very exciting. So, but it just takes a few little steps, but that really, it's a great focus for someone coming out of a lot of emotional pain, is to find that there's a passion that God gave them that was buried. They didn't know it was even there. And finding out what that is and exploring it is like going on a field trip. It's really neat.
Wow, that's so beautiful. And I think another, just back again to the same caution, is just because someone feels like today that this might be her passion or this might be her purpose, don't push her into it. It's her journey.
Yeah.
And so we're walking alongside. So did you have someone in particular who really was an encouragement to you along your journey of discovering your writing and encouraging passion?
Actually, yes. And it's just been in the last couple of years. I had volunteered with schools and different things, and I had been doing things like stuffing envelopes and making copies, doing general office work. And I started volunteering with Good Samaritan Ministries in Beaverton, Oregon. And they are an organization that started in a woman's basement or in her living room, and now they are in 23 countries. And they have this huge ministry, and it's all based on people giving of their lives. They have exactly 5 staff people in all of that. Everything else is people giving of their time. And when I started working there, they found out that I did a little bit of writing, and they encouraged me. And what they did was pull out of me this gift that God has. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even realize how extensive it was. And they just kind of encouraged me to go for it. And everything I wrote, they loved. And they put it on their blog and everything. And it was a blessing to people. And I had no clue of how powerful that gift that God gave me was. And it's just been very transforming of my life to really explore more deeply this gift of encouragement. I found that people would come to me. My husband said I'm like a magnet, that people come to me and want some support and help. And I'm just, it seems to be a natural kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's something on that I've been exploring again with Good Samaritan Ministries, because I'm going in with their counselor training to be able to understand how to more successfully support that person. And so that training is really good. So I guess that would be another area that if someone is wanting to really help someone to find their gift, to have that training to be able to encourage them. And that was an area that I felt was lacking, because I wasn't sure of the personal boundaries, and I had to learn them, that it wouldn't be a good thing for me to rescue a person, and I would easily fall into wanting to do that. Mm-hmm. And so I've been in that process of training, of learning more myself of how to be a helper.
Yeah.
Does that
help? Right. And And it's a continual learning curve, because every person has their own unique story. So we continue to learn as we go. But of course, you know, there's kind of the difference between if you're going to work with trauma and abuse victims all the time, or if you have a couple of gals in your life or in your ministry that you're coming alongside, you know, it's a different level of how much you can invest into training and that kind of thing. So what is the power of prioritization? How have you found prioritization to be helpful?
It's been really easy for me to get sidetracked or overloaded. I would sometimes do this to myself. I would just feel like I had to do everything, and I couldn't. I had to figure out steps that was manageable. And sometimes it would just feel quite overwhelming. Like when I wrote my book, I wanted to have it, you know, put it in everybody's hand, but that doesn't work that way. And the marketing for me is just really difficult. It's overwhelming. And so I have to take very small steps, and I have to prioritize what I can do each day, and just trust God that He has the bigger process in place for me. And so it helps me to just not allow myself to feel overwhelmed or get sidetracked. It's like anything else, I guess, like exercise. It's a daily thing on, do I get up and go to the gym or take a walk each day, or do I just feel like, oh man, I'll never get there, and then you never start. So I have to give myself a chance to start. And so I set little goals that I can work toward. And for me, that's been like setting up a website and just doing little things here and there on it, not huge things, not expecting everything, not expecting perfection, because I can't be perfect. And then just talking to people each day and getting the word out, kind of, that I am available. And so when you're helping someone to prioritize what their steps are, it can be quite a challenge. Maybe you can help them make a list and maybe pick one thing to focus on for a while, or maybe take a list of two or three things that might be important, and then focus on one step for each thing, that kind of thing, where you break it down into small pieces and make it manageable. But if the person feels overloaded or gets sidetracked really easy, then just take one step, one thing that they can do to focus on, maybe for a whole week, and just say, okay, let's just do this for 1 week and see how it goes. And just taking what is really priority, and it may be just that starting to receive God's love, and that may be the most important thing. And then taking one more step down the road. And so just taking it slow and seeing how that person responds.
Yeah, that's really good. And for the person who's coming alongside of the trauma or abuse victim, as a friend, a mentor, a counselor, a coach, whatever you're going to call yourself, whatever you are to her, you modeling prioritization in your own life is very important to not be swept away with the drama of her life, but to make sure to keep your priorities in order while being available to her during her healing process. And so I think that if we can think of it as part of what we're teaching, I always like to think of it that way. Whatever it is for me, if like, for example, if I'm setting boundaries on how much, how many appointments, this to 30 minutes or limit the show to an hour, whatever, I always think, okay, this is modeling time management or prioritization here. And so instead of feeling very selfish about what you need to do for your own children or your own family or whatever, you can just remember that you're modeling good skills that she needs to develop over time. And she's not going to come right into it unless that's just a natural bent of hers. None of us do come right into it. We all have to learn it. So the other thing that kind of is hand in hand with this then, Frida, is helping her unearth her value toward establishing some balance. And these two kind of go hand in hand, but talk to us about this value piece and the balance.
Yes. One of the things that is a challenge is beginning to value yourself and then balance the value that you have as a person and your emotional needs and your spiritual needs, and also the family and the social circle that you're in and your financial needs even. Just figuring out a balance there. Sometimes it's really easy to forget yourself, to focus on everybody else is so important, and you have lived your whole life in devaluation. So you don't know what it's like to give yourself that time. And so establishing that balance in all these needs is really important. But you as an individual is really important. And so when you're helping someone to establish that balance, then you may have to give some time to just talking about their own personal value and how they give themselves time. If they take time to take a walk or read a book when they'd like to, or put lotion on their hands, sometimes just the basic self-care is really helpful. And then talking to them about, you know, if there is a balance of their own life with their family life and the financial needs and so on, if that is in full balance and they're at ease with their life, then they can go forward with goals much easier. But if they're stuck in one area where there's something that is being given priority and there's not a balance of all those needs, especially their own needs, then they lose sight of themselves. And so it's really important for that person to learn that they have value, that they have inestimable value. It just, you can't even pin it down. God's love is so powerful for that individual that they don't want to lose sight of that.
As you're speaking, it continues to bubble to the surface in your words and in your comments that coming through abuse is leave the person feeling very negative about themselves and the world. But in this particular one, this point we're talking about right now, finding the value in oneself, is this, would you say, the common thread? I feel like it's probably the common thread among victims of abuse and trauma, that there's a devaluation of her person by other people. Therefore, she begins to believe that about herself.
Yes, I think so. I think for me, it was not even being aware that I had any value. There was so much. It was like I was raised in so much violence and pain that I had absolutely no value in my own mind and heart. I had to learn it. And so we can come along again, along somebody and be their friend. And even if we have to teach them how valuable they are, and begin to just do little things to show them how important they are in God's whole creation, that He created them in His love. And once you begin to embrace that value that you have as a person, then you can go on to more healing. But that's like, yeah, the basic step.
How do you, how would we be able to help equip her, let's just talk about one person, to evaluate and pursue her personal abilities and strengths?
That's quite a tall order. It's very fascinating, because some people don't realize that they have any abilities or strengths at all. They feel so weak and broken that they can't see even what is a strength for themselves. They have to have it pointed out to them. And so if you can identify and encourage what you do see in that individual, then you can begin to help her to explore more of what is deeper inside that she hasn't even grabbed a hold of. Mm-hmm. But sometimes it's another person seeing something in you that you don't even recognize yourself. And they can acknowledge it. They see it. They see that inner beauty that's there that you don't are not even aware of. And so being observant and then being willing to share in an encouraging way, I see this strength in you, and I would love to see that developed even more. And this ability that you have, maybe it's an ability with children. You know, that is a very precious thing. When a person has an ability and they can draw out something that a lot of people can't, and they have this ability, and so you can encourage them in that ability and then challenge them to find more strengths and abilities that they may have that they may not realize yet.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I was thinking of as you were talking was pairing up a more mature Christian with a abuse survivor, and having them work together on something. And one of the things you don't want to do is give her too much responsibility too soon. It can be overwhelming and can be discouraging to her if she lets you down, if she feels like she's failed you. So to have someone else come alongside her, and then even, you know, even where she isn't equipped to do it quite all herself, or even if she is, just having someone with her who can be her partner or teammate will help to encourage her to try to really step out and give it a go instead of hiding behind, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I really have that strength. I don't know if that's really me.
Right. It's very helpful to have someone, in a sense, be a mentor. I had a friend that she was kind of like discipling me, and I didn't even realize that she was doing it because she was my dear friend, and she just gently encouraged me, and she would tell me about strengths that she saw in me, and then she would kind of go back and say, let's not be so negative about this or whatever. You know, she would catch little things, but yet always be affirming of those strengths that I had. And so having that kind of support for a person who is in that process of healing, as a friend and mentor in Christ, that's very powerful. And yet, even in that place, the person who is helping really is, I would guess, challenged by God to have that patience and endurance and just compassion for this person, because someone healing can be very sensitive about anything. You never know what. You wind up overreacting and getting emotional. Sometimes I stayed with my emotions too much. And she encouraged me to not necessarily do that, to just begin to step out in faith. And so certainly having a person come alongside you and be that mentor, and having that as a positive relationship, that's really wonderful. So absolutely, that would be a good thing to have. It's a beautiful ministry for anyone on a personal level. And then if there is a church program that does that, pairs people up, it's a really beautiful thing.
Yeah. So, of course, faith is just a core to this. Tenacious faith. I'm going to combine a couple things here. How to help her keep her eyes on her goals with tenacious faith, and the key to staying on track and avoiding otherwise inevitable derailment. All these things just seem to dovetail to me. It is very difficult when you hit bumps and surprises, when you hit things you weren't expecting or they just seem too hard. It's difficult to hang on to faith. So what is the key to staying on track?
I think just holding on to God and not letting him go for any reason. Just holding on to your faith, even when it's hard, because sometimes it is. It's just hard. And sometimes a person who is coming alongside of someone needs to be there, I guess, at their time of need, not necessarily when it's easy for you as an individual, but at their time of need, and just to really be there and to, again, mentor that tenacity that you just can hold on, and that there is a purpose in everything, in the good things, in the not so good things, in the things even of waiting. When we have a prayer that we're asking God for years and years and years, and we've just been praying, and we hold on to that, and we never let it go, and we trust that God has the right time, that he knows what he's doing, and it's all about him and his glory, and it's going to come out in the long run to be for his glory, and it'll wind up blessing you more because of his timing. It's so perfect. And I've gone through that. I've prayed for a dear friend for years and years. And just until my heart just was broken. And God was just there. And things have turned around. And I'm so thankful. And now I just praise God every day for it. And so you just have to really hold on to that goal, that in Christ, he's our goal, really, is just to keep striving for him and knowing him more, listening to him more. And even in pain, that it's an avenue for getting closer to God. And I didn't know that until I started really searching more in the scriptures and listening to God more and just getting in even deeper than I had before, that that there's a purpose in everything that happens. And it doesn't have to be all negative. It can be, wow, I am sicker than a dog today, but I have time to rest and just enjoy my God, even though I'm sick. You know, that kind of thing, that life does not slow down just because we want it to. It keeps on going faster than anything, and we're hit with illness, we're hit with family members dying, and those are hard things. Life is really hard. And when you're coming alongside someone who is hurting and they've been hit with this, just be an encourager and hold on to God, that he is our answer, he is our comfort. And whatever comfort you have, that you have received from God, that you have the ability to give to that other person, you have the ability to give them the hope that God has given you. And so just holding on to him and not letting anything derail you from that.
So two of my favorite songs seem to be contradictory. One is by Trial of Paris, Hold On. The other is by Casting Crowns, Just Be Held. And the Hold On song is also, you know, very biblically based, in that in the Old Testament, God talks about the children of Israel needed to hold on, and they were not holding on to him. They were holding on to everything else, but not to God.
Yes.
And yet the Casting Crowns song, that's just a more current song, which is Just Be Held, has lines like, your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. Another line is, when your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But when your eyes are on the cross, you know I always have, and I always will, just be held. And so there's this incredible surroundness of it, where if you're focusing on holding on, or if you're focusing on just being held, it all works.
Yeah.
It's just the focus is on Jesus. The eyes are on Jesus. The heart is on Jesus.
Yeah.
So beautiful. So true.
Yeah. That is very beautiful. And it's beautiful to grab a hold of that and have our eyes on Christ and receive his love always. Just be held by him. And I really love that. Both of those are absolutely fantastic. We can learn from the Old Testament stories, and we can learn from the New Testament and the power of having our eyes on Jesus.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
really wonderful.
Well, for those of you listening who are coming alongside an abuse or a trauma victim, the gift that you are giving is incredible, a safe place for her to pray through her deepest wounds. And there is really nothing more powerful than praying with these gals. I know for me, when I am wounded, there is nothing more powerful than a friend coming alongside and praying with me.
That's right. Yes. Very powerful, and it's life-changing for you as an individual and also for the person that you're helping, because often they've had no one else to be there for them, and especially in this way to bring them into the presence of Christ and into the power and love of God. That's very, very life-transforming.
Go ahead.
In that process, don't hesitate to share your own tenderness and your own vulnerability, that you have struggled with whatever issues that you've had in your life, and that you understand the level of pain that they're in, at least to some extent. It may not be the same, but in your own vulnerability that you have experienced some pain in life, because that's part of life, and there's a tenderness there that God has given you, and an empathy and compassion for her, and it just is really important for you to be able to be vulnerable and to share, because that gives her the freedom to share her vulnerability also. If you hold back and just, you know, you're helping and that's it, she might not feel as open and as free to really let go of and share what her pain is and share the reality of it and receive the support that you're giving.
Yeah, and I think it brings up a good point. I thought of it when you were talking about, when we were talking about evaluating and pursuing your strengths and abilities, you talked about your dear friend who was actually mentoring you along the way. When I think of my close friends, they are mentoring me and I am mentoring them. We are farther ahead or, you know, whatever, in different areas. And so I'm always learning from them and they're always learning from me, but not necessarily on the same topic, even though sometimes on the exact same topic, I can learn from them while they're learning from me, because we just have different perspectives, like the elephant, the blind man and the elephant, you know, you're seeing different sides of something. But I think the key, whether it's in prayer or whether it's in mentoring or whatever, is that you actually develop a friendship instead of just like a teacher-student relationship, which is kind of a one-off. The teacher is the knowledgeable source of all this, and then there's the students who take it all in. Whereas what our hearts really long for, and especially an abuse victim, what she really longs for and needs is a friend, first and foremost.
Yes.
And so when you're praying, if you're only always praying for her needs and you are never vulnerable with a need of your own, where she can actually do something for you, she can pray for you. Even if she doesn't have a penny, she can pray for you. And so giving her the gift of giving you something is huge.
Yes, it is. It can go both ways and be a very not only satisfying, but rewarding, fulfilling relationship. And that's what God calls us to, is to come alongside each other. And actually, my friend and I, as I have grown, we have become that kind of friend where we're at different levels, but now it's like, wow, it's deeper than I ever expected. I never anticipated having a friend like this, and it's very powerful. And I think it's like the beginning of heaven right here on earth, and we can have that kind of relationship with a dear friend, just very precious relationship. So, yes, it's very important.
You know, I you just said something. It's kind of like heaven on earth, but when you are being abused and victimized, it is like hell on earth, really. It's terrible. It is not something that will ever happen to you in heaven. It is not good. And when someone comes along and expresses the love of Jesus to us, that is like heaven on earth. That's a taste of heaven on earth. And it is so beautiful and so refreshing. And it is supposed to be that way. And in fact, everything on earth, everything that God created is a picture, an analogy to help us understand his incredible love and perfection compared to the evil that is also here, and to show the difference between the two. And so being a friend, being a true friend, and allowing her into your heart is just huge. We talked about this earlier. Did you have anything to add to the thought about how to take care of yourself as you're reaching out to hurting women?
It's really important to take care of yourself emotionally. One of the things that I had a hard time with was that I would take on everybody's pain, and then I would be just devastated all over again. And so I've had to learn that there's a difference where you can be an observer and a listener and a compassionate friend, but you don't have to take it into yourself, that level of pain that they're experiencing. You can take care of yourself. And just like the balance part, taking time for yourself, have a cup of tea and do some exercise and just value yourself in the midst of reaching out to others so that you can be a more effective support person, and not losing the value that you have as an individual, but to take care of yourself and to give yourself that time. And certainly time in the Word, take care of your own needs emotionally and spiritually. And then you can really minister successfully and healthy, and be okay with yourself as you're helping other people.
Yeah, and if you don't, it's not going to work out great for either of you.
That's back to true. The
airline oxygen mask. You know, they always say, put yours on first and then help the other person. If you run out of Jesus, then what you're doing is you are dipping into your own resources, just what your humanity can come up with. And honestly, there's some value in that temporarily. There's, you know, if you feed the poor, whether you do it with Jesus or without, they got a meal. So that's okay. But if you're looking for eternal results, if you're looking for the agape love that only comes through God flowing his love through us, you've got to be spending time with God. You've got to be taking care of you. And it goes back again, we mentioned earlier, that role model concept, which helps me a lot to understand how not to feel selfish about taking care of me in the process. And also just when Jesus, you know, they were saying, what is the most important commandment? And if you go through that, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you go count how many yous are in there, you love yourself like that. There's 9 times he uses the word you in that verse, because what he's saying is you can't give what you don't have. If you're empty, you have nothing to give. So you have to start with your own relationship with God and with taking care of yourself and focusing on that. Well, Frida, this time has gone so fast, and this has been fantastic. You are the author of 3 books, Flame of Healing, Resurrection Hope, and Millennial Hope. And then you're a speaker as well. And you have a website called just your name, FridaEmmons.com. If people go over there, what are they going to find?
I have quite a lot of documentation about really how serious things are, like child abuse and domestic violence and sex trafficking and even satanic ritual abuse, and just some really difficult statistics, but also how it affects individuals. But then I also have the hope. I have resources for healing and scripture resources and information about my books and just encouragement from God. He's the source of our hope, and I just surrounding myself, not only understanding the issues that we're faced with, but surrounding the whole thing in that hope that we have in Christ, that he can be our identity rather than being a victim. And so I would love to have people take a look at my website and just explore it a little bit and contact me if you'd like to. I want to be there for people to reach out, and also for people who are hurting. My heart is for the person who is stuck in the pain that I understand very deeply, and they want some hope, and there is hope there, and Christ gives that hope.
Praise God. Well, why don't I feel like we should just pray right now, so let's just do it, Father. We are so blessed by your involvement in our lives, God, your love, your compassion, the hope that you bring to otherwise hopeless situations. Thank you for flowing that love to and through Frida, to so many, through her writing and through her ministry and speaking and through her just availability, even one-on-one. And I just pray that you would continue to use her. God, for every listener who is working with someone who has been abused, I just pray that you would give her courage and faithful tenacity in you to look to you for every next step, and to not expect that it's all going to get fixed right away or even before heaven. But we are here to draw souls closer to the cross, closer to you, closer to freedom. And so we just walk that out. And then for those who are listening who you just can really relate to what Frida's been talking about not feeling valued and just not even knowing how to begin to change things, I just pray that, God, that you would comfort these hearts and that you would show each one the next step to take, whether it's a church they should go to and attend or whatever it is. God, I pray that you would just make that next step available to her right now as she's listening. We thank you so much for your grace and goodness and for how you never leave us or forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Frida, thanks so much for being here. Loved having you.
Oh, thank you. It's been a great honor. Thank you so much.
You bet. And thanks, you guys, for joining us. Love having you here, whether it's live on Wednesday afternoons at Blog Talk Radio, or whether you listen to an archive or one of the surrounding hosts of Marnie's Friends and Perspective Transformation. So grateful to have you listening whenever you can. Also want to encourage you to check out Frida's website at fridaemmons.com, womenspeakers.com, of course, womenspeakers.com. Frida's over in Oregon there. And my website is marnie.com. Thanks for joining us. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week and see you next time. Bye-bye.